This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
We are back in the packet.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, radio show, thanks so much for being here. My name is Andy Herman. We are going to be joined by Paul Breitel momentarily, but just a reminder quick that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Scott Brodsky coming up at 9:20 a.m. today. As always, Mitch has got an awesome show cooking for you, so stick around from 9 to 11 for that Mason Crosby Show today. As I mentioned, Paul Breitel, ESPN Lacrosse. You can find him on social media at Paul_Breitel. Paul, it is fan-freaking-tastic to be chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm excellent, Andy. Happy to be talking Packers with you.
It is always great. I enjoy it every single time, and I know all of our listeners will as well. So what we kind of started off with today is talking a lot of Aaron Banks and what he can bring to this team. I know you obviously wrote in great detail about Banks, and you also kind of touched base on the difference between Josh Myers and Aaron Banks and what Banks is going to be able to bring to this team. So obviously without spoiling the entire article, what were some of the things that you kind of saw, and what are you excited about with the Packers adding Aaron Banks to this team?
Yeah, I think the Banks addition is twofold for me. One, it's just added flexibility, which we know the Packers covet, especially along the offensive line, because he slots in at left guard. Presumably, you get Elgton Jenkins at center. And I think that gives them more options with Jordan Morgan. Do you have him compete again at right guard with Sean Ryan? Or do you have him compete at left tackle with Rashid Walker? to try to bolster the competition out there. All of that remains to be seen, but I think Morgan potentially competing at that left tackle spot is now more in play with Banks on the roster. In addition to that, from what Banks brings to this Packers team, I think where he can provide a boost is in the run game. And the Packers' run game certainly was not bad last season. We all know that. We know they leaned on it heavily to lead them to victory a number of times. Josh Jacobs obviously put up really big numbers. But where I think there's an opportunity for growth for that unit is in generating explosive runs. From Pro Football Focus, Josh Jacobs ranked 32nd among all running backs last season in breakaway percentage. So that's how often are you generating a run of at least 15 yards. He ranked 32nd. In terms of yards after contact, roughly 75% of Jacobs' yards came after contact last season. For some context, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, they were in the 50-55% range in terms of yards after contact last season. So how do you get more explosive runs? You get your running back beyond the line of scrimmage. You get him to the second level where we all know that Josh Jacobs has the ability to make defenders miss and generate some big plays. So I think the addition of Banks, who's ability as a run blocker, I think, is the strength of his game. I think that's one area where he can really provide a potential upgrade for this Packers running game as a whole.
I'm so glad you brought basically all of that up, but the big piece of, man, the running game was really good last year in large part because of Josh Jacobs and what he was able to do to make people miss. And there wasn't always a ton out there for him. So I do think, you know, replacing what I think was one of the weakest run blockers in Josh Myers, and I think significantly upgrading that with an Aaron Banks, I do think that's going to open things up. And not just potentially, you know, Paul, if you do get Sean Ryan at that right guard position, not that Jordan Morgan's small, but you could have a 325 pounder at left guard, 311 pounder at center, and another 320 pounder at right guard, actually having some beef and some bulk in the interior of that offensive line, it could be really fun. And I think you could see a little bit more movement in the interior of that offensive line next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And this would be quite the, over the last 12 months, 18 months or so, would be quite a transition for this Packers interior offensive line unit. Cause you mentioned the size, right? They have with Jenkins, Banks, Ryan, like those are people movers, right? Those are offensive linemen who are taking the defensive linemen that they're up against from point A to point B. Whereas in the past, even though the Packers have obviously had success throughout the years in the run game, it's been more through athleticism, right? Getting positioned quickly, using your speed to the advantage. So definitely a different play style. And we saw the Packers run game as a whole transition to more of that play style last season with Josh Jacobs in the backfield. There was less of the traditional outside zone we've seen under Matt LaFleur with Aaron Jones, and there's more of the gap scheme. There's more running between the tackles. And not to say that Banks can't get out in space. I think he absolutely can. But we're seeing the Packers, their philosophy in terms of, all right, how do we want to run the ball, changing, and the changes along the offensive line are reflecting that.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think there is a lot of excitement that comes along with that. We're being joined by Paul Bredel, ESPN Lacrosse. You can find him on social media at Paul_Bredel. One of the things you also wrote about, Paul, was just improving the competition on the roster with bringing in an offensive lineman where they already potentially had five starters, and with bringing in Nate Hobbs in the secondary where you theoretically could have gone with Javon Bullard on the slot and, you know, Valentine and Nixon on the outside, and we'll see what happens with Jair Alexander. It seems like they maybe accomplished a little bit of this. You see that the competition is now better on this team with what they've done in free agency so far.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. I already mentioned on the offensive line aspect, I think there's more options now available to the Packers in terms of, all right, where are we going to try to see where Jordan Morgan can make the greatest impact on the defensive side of the ball with Hobbs? I think, one, there's just some much-needed added stability to that cornerback position right now, because obviously coming into free agency, the depth of that group beyond Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, there is almost no NFL regular season experience on that depth chart. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with Jair Alexander, but now with Hobbs in the mix, if we're going to see him out on the boundary, she has the ability to play. You see some stability added to this Packers cornerback room, right? If all of a sudden it's Hobbs on the boundary, Bullard in the slot, Nixon and Valentine competing for playing time at that other boundary spot, you assume there's going to be another addition coming at the cornerback spot in the NFL draft, you can start to see that room at least start to take shape where you feel a lot better about it. And with Hobbs and his versatility to play inside and out, I think that just obviously matches what Jeff Hafley's looking for in being multiple on the defensive side of the ball. I think where we see Hobbs is going to be dependent upon, all right, who's the top receiver? What is the opponent like to do? What's the situation, a running play versus a passing play? So I think it just opens up a whole new world of possibilities in terms of mixing and matching at the cornerback position for Jeff Hafley, in addition to, again, the just the stability that he helps provide to that cornerback unit, which was greatly needed.
Yeah, I think so too. And we know that Jeff Hafley is going to use that versatility on the defensive backfield, and he's not afraid to mix and match depending on scheme or what he's, you know, trying to attack game by game. So just giving him a few more options, I think, is going to be really exciting for that secondary, I should say. Overall, Paul, they obviously go out and spend a pretty significant amount of money. I'm not sure that anyone would have predicted, if they go out and spend almost $120 million on 2 4-year deals, that Nate Hobbs and Aaron Banks would have potentially been the signings. But how do you evaluate these two signings? And how do you feel after the Packers' first week of free agency so far?
Yeah, I think initially you definitely got to peek under the hood of the vehicle here to get an understanding of, all right, why were these additions made from the Packers' perspective. Like you said, on the surface, seems very much off script. I don't think anyone had these additions on their radar. But as mentioned, it provides versatility at both spots along the offensive line, at the cornerback position, more flexibility for this Packers team as they go about constructing these units, and not just from a depth chart standpoint or a starting standpoint, but a game-to-game standpoint and the competition that you're generating among those units. Hobbs also as well with his ability against the run, ball production, Banks helping out the Packers run game, as we discussed. So you can see the vision here, right, for what the Packers are looking to try to accomplish this offseason at both of those position groups. I certainly think it raises the floor of what the offensive line can be and what the cornerback room can be. So I think they're very, very solid, even if maybe, you know, not jumping off the stat sheet or jumping on your radar type of additions, but it raises the floor. And of course, the big positions left that are still out there for the Packers are wide receiver and defensive end. But these were two positions that had to be upgraded. And even though the offensive line may have been flying under the radar, you can tell by Brian Gutekunst's urgency to go get Banks, the contract that he gave Banks, that internally inside the Packers building, addressing the offensive line was obviously a major priority for them.
Yeah, it certainly was. And you might be able to look at it and say that there were five starters already, but even if that were the case, you need at least six. I think Green Bay got probably pretty lucky this past year for the most part. I mean, Morgan missed some time, but their kind of preferred starting lineup was out there the vast majority of the time. And then when it wasn't, in that playoff game when Morgan was out and then Jenkins goes down and Myers goes down, you saw just how big of a nightmare, especially against Philly's defensive line, that ended up being. So even if there is now a sixth offensive line, and even if it's Morgan or Walker, Ryan that ends up being that player, you're going to need all of those guys through the course of the season. So getting some depth and competition there, I think, is going to be very important. Again, we're being joined by Paul Bredel, ESPN Lacrosse. You can find him at Paul_Bredel on Twitter and on social media. You mentioned wide receiver, edge rusher, no additions there. They've been very quiet over the past few days. You know, obviously they may need to now address those positions via the draft. A, did you expect a little bit more there? And B, is there any level of disappointment that maybe two of these positions of fairly significant need, especially after Goody's talked specifically about needing that front four to be able to win on their own and that it needs to be much better? Are you surprised and or disappointed that they maybe haven't done more at those two positions?
I'm not surprised that they haven't attacked those positions in free agency. I've written about this a little bit this offseason because obviously it's a big topic of conversation. But for the defensive line room, I always thought the opportunity for the Packers to add that hopeful high-end impact player was always going to come through the draft. For one, that's how Brian Gutekunst just wants to build this roster. If he has the opportunity to bring in a defensive lineman through the draft and a young ascending player on an inexpensive deal versus going out and spending those dollars in free agency, he's absolutely going to take that path. And this year's draft class along the defensive front gives him that opportunity because it's extremely deep. When the Packers are on the clock in those early rounds, there's a good chance that one of the players at the top or near the top of their board is probably going to be a defensive lineman. So I think just from an opportunity standpoint, how Brian Gutekunst wants to build out the roster, waiting until the draft, I think, was always going to be the most likely outcome in terms of at least finding that splash high impact player. As far as the receiver position goes, I think it was a similar outcome as well. Landing that top one wide receiver one who comes in and makes an instant impact, that was always going to be a difficult path to go down, right? There's just not many of those players available out there. The catalyst for this Packers group the wide receiver room for improvement this season, it's going to have to be competition. It's going to have to be similar like we saw in 2023, right? Brian Gutekunst has spoken about the competition element being a huge, huge factor in the growth, not just in the receiver room in 23, but throughout this entire roster. And so I think he's going to try to regain that, right? During that 2023 season, you had Watson and Dobbs on the roster. But you add Malik Heath, you add Dontavian Wicks, you add Jaden Reed to the mix. I think they're going to go out and add a receiver or two via the draft to spark that competition, create that urgency that Brian Gutekunst wants to see on this roster. And that's hopefully going to have to be what is the catalyst behind improved play this season. Now, is that guaranteed? Absolutely not. But I think it's the best option that's available to the Packers at this time. And when it comes to trying to cultivate that through the free agent market, again, right or wrong, just how Brian Gutekunst goes about building out his roster and this year's free agent class, there's a lot of production in the receivers that were on the market or still on the market this season, but they're also veteran players, right? And again, signing veteran players to free agent deals at a receiver position just very much goes against the grain, right or wrong, for how Brian Gutekunst builds out this roster. So that's the long-winded way of me saying that, no, I'm not surprised that they didn't add to either of those positions. And also, as well, one other thing I'll add, at both spots, like, the Packers have a strong foundation at receiver. They have a strong foundation at the defensive line. Do they need more out of those players? Absolutely. But these positions weren't like the cornerback room, right, where you're looking at Nixon and Valentine and then a bunch of players who haven't played regular season snaps in the NFL. That is a must-add-to position. When it comes to the free agency portion, and Brian Gutekunst did that. That isn't the case at receiver. You need to be very pinpointed in how you're going to go about adding to those rooms, because adding another number two or number three to the wide receiver room doesn't necessarily elevate that group, because the Packers have those guys already. But it's the competition, it's the urgency that you're hoping to comes out of that addition and takes this group to another level.
I think it's really, really well said, and I think it's well thought out as well, and I couldn't agree with you more, because I do think those two positions were always going to be very tough to add to in this period. Maybe there's a Trey Hendrickson out there. I just don't see that happening. But right. let me ask you this before we get you out of here. There is obviously still players left on the market. Is there anyone, it's been very picked over, we know that. Is there anyone that's enticing to you? Is there anyone that you'd like to still see Green Bay go out and sign? And do you think they could still have a free agent move or two up their sleeve?
I think from a salary cap perspective, they absolutely have the ability to go out and make an addition, right? One that can come in and have an impact right away on this Packers team. So I think and that reality is very much in play for this Packers team. And one player that jumps out to me in terms of the pass rush is Dante Fowler. I believe at this time he hasn't been signed by anyone.
Correct.
But looking back at his season last year at Washington, I mean, as a pass rusher specifically, that's where his greatest impact came. And so you look at how he fits into this Packers defense, those second, third and long situations, those obvious passing downs. I mean, he can be another member of that rotation who has a large sample size throughout his career, wherever he goes in those passing situations, he's produced as a pass rusher. And that's what Green Bay needs right now. They need someone along that four-man front. Well, they need multiple players, but they need someone along that four-man front who can go out and win their rep, right? Who can get to the quarterback to help just get generate more pressure, because then there's going to be a positive trickle-down effect to the rest of this Packers defense. Just to go off on a brief tangent here, one thing that really stood out to me during Matt LaFleur's season-ending press conference, he was asked about Jeff Hafley's defense, and did it look like what he expected? And he said, no, it didn't whatsoever, right? He talked about how he thought there's going to be more four-man rushes, more defenders in coverage than what there ended up being. And we ended up seeing more blitzes, more simulated pressures. And one, that's a huge credit to Jeff Hafley, right, for being able to recognize what's happening, adapting, adjusting, putting his players in a position to be successful, right? So huge credit to Jeff Hafley. But how do you get more of the Jeff Hafley defense? You get more production from your pass rush, and then we can see more of that aggressive nature potentially from the cornerbacks in press coverage. We can see more opportunities for Xavier McKinney to roam and truly be that, you know, he already is a playmaking presence, but I think there's another level for that, right? If he's truly playing that versatile deep safety role in Jeff Hafley's defense. So if they can get this pass rush going, I think there's just a massive trickle-down effect to the rest of the defense, not only in terms of getting after the quarterback's a good thing and there's turnover opportunities, but from a game plan perspective, what Jeff Hafley puts together on a week-to-week basis, I think, could look quite different.
I think so too. And if they can get that big time pass rush, man, they were pretty much top 10 in a lot of categories this past year. And I think pretty easily a top 10 defense. That's how you get to top five, top three defenses, by improving that pass rush. If they can find a way to do it, I think it would unlock a lot of things for this defense and lock a lot of other teams down. So it would be very, very exciting if they can find a way to make it happen. Paul, you do phenomenal work. I know we can find you at ESPN Lacrosse, but what do you got cooking and what do you got coming out in the near future that you want to plug here on the way out?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get the opportunity today to talk with Nate Hobbs, so we'll have something more detailed on him coming later this afternoon or tomorrow morning. Follow me on Twitter at Paul_Bredel. And for the YouTube watchers out there, the Paul Bredel Show on YouTube, hit like, hit subscribe. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, Paul does a great job, so make sure to check him out over on that YouTube channel as well as over on ESPN Lacrosse. And again, follow him at Paul_Bredel. Paul, I appreciate you a ton. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon. And if there's any other breaking news coming up, we'll definitely have you on and chat through that. But can't thank you enough, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend, my friend.
Same to you, Andy. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. All right, we'll talk to you soon. That was Paul Bredel. Again, Paul_Bredel on social media. This is the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. We'll be right back.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.